the Duke room. Thank you. Okay. Hi, my name's Rachel, and I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are welcome, and we all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Phil and Dino, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to you in your recovery and/or understanding. Antoinette will read the preamble.
Hi, I'm Antoinette, and I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now Joan will read the steps.
Hi, everyone. My name is Joan Morgan, and I am indeed an alcoholic. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Now Phil will read the traditions.
Hi, I'm Phil. I'm an alcoholic. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Okay, tonight is anniversary night. The format of the meeting will be a 10-minute speaker who will speak on the ninth tradition, followed by our information break. The main speaker who will speak for 25 minutes, followed by our anniversary celebrants. And our 10-minute speaker tonight is Rebecca.
That's perfect, Marty. Thank you. My name's Rebecca. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, home group. First, I'd like to thank Heidi for asking me to speak. Speaking on a tradition is a big honor because I guess it means that I know something aside from my own inventory. And it's really an honor to really care about anything outside of my own inventory today. I'm going to start with the long form. This is Tradition 9 long form. Each AA group needs the least possible organization. Rotating leadership is the best. The small group may elect its secretary, the large group its rotating committee, and the groups of a large metropolitan area their central or intergroup committee, which often employs a full-time secretary. The trustees of the General Service Board are, in effect, our AA General Service Committee. They are the custodians of our AA tradition and the receivers of voluntary AA contributions by which we maintain our AA General Service Office at New York. They are authorized by the groups to handle our overall public relations, and they guarantee the integrity of our principal newspaper, the AA Grapevine. All such representatives are to be guided in the spirit of service, for true leaders in AA are but the trusted and experienced servants of the whole. They derive no real authority from their titles. They do not govern. Universal respect is the key to their usefulness. So can someone go around and wake up everybody that just fell asleep? The reason I wasn't interested in the traditions when I first came to AA was because it wasn't as interesting as my sex inventory, basically. And I just think that if self-centeredness and selfishness are the root of our troubles, you know, we need to do a lot of work before we can get interested in something this verbose. But organization first, you know, when I was researching and studying up to get an A, I wanted to be really clear that organization doesn't reference the format and structure of an actual meeting. It's not like, you know, we don't want organization, so everybody kind of run around and we'll spin a bottle and choose that format. Organization is referencing having any sort of central government that dictates any direction to an AA member. So that's what having the least possible organization means in regards to Alcoholics Anonymous. And the traditions came about after our founding members first recovered. And the big book is Precise Directions. I was taught it's Precise Directions on How to Recover. And the 12 and 12 is a series of essays and commentary about what happened after our founding members did do these precise directions. So the 12 traditions are born out of a series of trial and error. They come directly from the experience of our founding members. And, you know, the 12 and 12 has a lot of very interesting stories about how we arrived at these particular traditions. And I was reading in AA Comes of Age. I want it to sound really smart. I was reading in AA Comes of Age. that traditions, we first needed traditions and any sort of structure within a group because AA meetings were taking place in people's homes, but all of a sudden the meetings were growing, so we needed to find other places to have these meetings. You know, they're getting big, good AA's working, bad, all of a sudden they're landlords. And nobody thought that, you know, money was going to have to come into this, like, idea. You know, we wanted a completely spiritual program. We didn't want to have to mix money into it, but we had to pay. So all of a sudden that necessitated a treasurer, and then we necessitated a chair, and we had to have multiple service positions in order to run the meeting. So those service positions were created to be directly responsible to the member and to the newcomer of whichever group. I think what I love so much about this tradition is it just reminds me of what happened the day before I first earnestly asked for help in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had a year and a half of sobriety, and I had found every easier and softer way to sit in a meeting and not work the steps. And I had had a plan. I got sober in Los Angeles, and there's a meeting called Federal, and it's a huge meeting. And I had a plan to go up to the podium, quite like this, and tell everybody that AA was actually just group therapy, and it was a joke. And it didn't work, and, you know, I was going to, you know, do some terribly defiant thing and then walk off. And what happened after I told my friend this entire plan, and she was laughing because she could see the truth and I couldn't, I hit my knees and cried because I really wanted to die. I just hated myself so much, and I was too scared to drink again because I knew I'd end up back in a hospital. And I hit my knees and I asked somebody for help. And the year and a half of defiance pretty much is characteristic of alcoholism, defiance and grandiosity. And when we come in here, we don't want anybody to tell. We're actually on the hunt for a reason to leave when we're new in Alcoholics Anonymous. And if anybody looks at us the wrong way, or anybody has something like they want me to wear a blazer, I can't wear my like tulle shirt. You know, if anybody gives me a reason, I've already written an entire dissertation about why they're wrong, and then all of a sudden AA doesn't work. And Harry Tebow was one of our great benefactors, and he wasn't an alcoholic, but he was a supporting American psychiatrist, and he actually served on our General Service Board. And he discussed in a series of papers around the mid-1950s two defining characteristics of the alcoholic. So if you're new or not new and you can identify with either defiance or grandiosity, you know, like, raise your hand. Here we go. He said defiance may be defined as a quality that permits an individual to snap his fingers in the face of reality and live on unperturbed. And defiance masquerades as a very real and reliable source of inner strength and self-confidence, since it says, in essence, nothing can happen to me because I can and do defy it. And then grandiosity, he describes as grandiosity is characteristically fills a person with feelings of omnipotence, demands for direct gratification of wishes, and a proneness to interpret frustration as evidence of rejection and lack of love. So basically, if I'm armed with the facts about, you know, that's how alcoholism is, I have to be knowing as a newcomer that I'm going to come in here and not want to help people and be prone to saying no. And the reason why I can honestly say I'm grateful today is because I was in enough pain to do the step work that gave me the psychic change. And for me, the psychic change manifested in a complete desire to do service and to help other people, like a complete desire to understand a service structure and to be a part of this thing so that the doors could stay open for that defiant person that I was, for that newcomer. And rotating leadership and the idea of having, you know, a humble and trusted servant ensures that we are continuing to live in kind of this group conscience. You know, nobody's dictating or being authoritative or creating any sort of rules. Every business meeting, including this steering committee meeting that I've had the pleasure of sitting in on because I chair Monday night this year, every single business meeting in Alcoholics Anonymous I've ever sat in has been completely devoted to the direct service to the members of the group in the sense of a group inventory. How are we being most effective in carrying this message to the newcomer? Are newcomers coming back? How are we getting this literature out there? Are we making an effective, in the steering committee, it's like, you know, when I got to this group, I had been on groups that I had been in groups when I was in California that had regular business meetings, and there were rumblings when I got here about this like authoritative, steering committee. And the truth of the matter is that nothing that goes on there is anything more than like, you know, making budget for napkins so that like we can have cookies and really bare bones stuff so that this continues to work. And I just wanted to close with a quote from the 12 and 12. It's about tradition 9, and I think it really ties together this idea of defiance that we get here with and the truth about the essence of service that we're hopefully animated by after hopefully working this. This is to assume that we're going to work the steps and have this happy, joyous, and free life, by the way. All right, hold on, let me just get this really quick. On 174 of the 12 and 12 in Tradition 9, it says, "At this juncture, we can hear a churchman exclaim, 'They're making disobedience a virtue.' He is joined by a psychiatrist who says, 'Defiant brats, they won't grow up and conform to social usage.' The man in the street says, 'I don't understand it. They must be nuts.' But all these observers have overlooked something unique in Alcoholics Anonymous." And this is the kicker. "Unless each AA member follows to the best of his ability our suggested 12 steps to recovery, he almost certainly signs his own death warrant. His drunkenness and dissolution are not penalties inflicted by people in authority. They result from his personal disobedience to spiritual principles." So, thanks again, Heidi.
My name is Richard, and I am an alcoholic.